Today's shiur is a Masechta Chulin on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav Amed Beis, 17 lines from the bottom of the Amid, at the beginning of the line with the words Chaymer Bizroya. And now the Gemara continues to explain the next part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said Chaymer Bizroya L'chayim V'keva, that the Matnas Kahuna of Zroya L'chayim V'keva, which are given by every person when he shechts Chulin, is more chomer than Rashi's Hages Shehazroya L'chayim V'keva Nehagin V'Bakar B'Tzoyin V'Merubah M'Muat. That these matnas kun are given by all things that are shechted, all chulin, cattle, sheep, whether it's one or whether it's many animals, each one requires that a zroya l'chayim v'keva is given to the kayin. It's first of all, it's only by sheep. It's only by a large amount. There's machlokes the Mishnah Beishami Beisil. Beishami says two sheep and Beisil, the way we paskin, five sheep. The Gemara asks the question now, that Reish Hagez is naig even if the animal is a trefa, as we learned in the third paragraph of Chulin Eila Trefas, the various mumen blemishes in an animal, which are defects in the animal, where the animal cannot survive, and is called a trefa. So Reish Hagez, even if the animal is a trefa, would be naig. Whereas Matonis, as Rashi puts down, Matnas Kahuna, are not given to the Kohen if the animal is a treif. Rashi brings a pasuk, titnu loy v'loy l'kalboy. Give it to him and not to his dog. And actually, the Masoreis HaShas says that it should be v'nasan l'kayin, that the Zeroya l'chayim v'keva, the pasuk says, are given to the kayin. And we learn out, loy v'loy l'kalboy, to him and not to his caliph. As the pasuk says, u'basur basada treif v'loy s'chelu, l'kalif tashlich l'nasar, you cannot eat treifa. What do you do with a treifa? You give it to a dog. So if you're going to give treifa to a koyin, who's going to eat it? Not the koyin, only the dog. But since the pasuk says, v'nasin l'koyin, so we learn out, loy v'loy l'kalboy, you don't give it to that dog who would normally get the treifa, because a treifa is not chayv in matnas kohuna. So why don't we say that chilek between Zeroya l'chayim v'keva, which are not naig by treifa, and Reish Hagez, which is naig by treifa, Amar Ravina, Haman Reb Shimoni. Our Mishnah is going according to Reb Shimon, the son of the Brice Reb Shimon, poiter es treifas from Reish Hagez. Reb Shimon holds that even treifas are, even Reish Hagez is poiter from treifas. And therefore the Mishnah didn't say this distinction, because there is no distinction. Reish Hagez has the same halacha, that it is poiter by treifas. Ask the Gemara my time at Reb Shimon, what's the reason of Reb Shimon? Yolif Nesina Nesina Matonis. He learns Xerah Shavah Nesina Nesina from Matonis. Just like by Matonis, it's not Noig by Treifa, as we just learned. Lekoyin and not Lekalboy, not to the dog. So too, Reish Hagez, where it also says the word Titein, that you should give it to the Koyin. We make Xerah Shavah Nesina Nesina, and therefore Reish Hagez is not Noig by Treifas. Ma matonis treifas loy. Just like by matonis, there's no halacha of treifa, that you don't give matonis by treifa. Af reish hagez nami treifa loy. You don't take reish hagez from a treifa. Ask the Gemara, v'yolif nesina nesina matonis. If there is such a gzeir shavav, and the artana is learning, Rav Shimon is learning from matonis to reish hagez, leilif nesina nesina mitruma, why doesn't he learn nesina nesina from truma? Ma truma boretzim b'chutz l'aretz loy. Af reish hagez nami boretzim b'chutz l'aretz loy. As we had on Amud Aleph, the pasuk says the word titen concerning reish hagez. Reish is the goncha tirosh v'tzarecha, which are all truma. The reish is geis soincha titen loy. That titen is in the same pasuk, referring both to reish hagez and to the various things that are given, that there's a chi of truma to be taken from them. So there's definitely there in the same pasuk gzeir reshava. So why don't I make gzeir reshava from truma, nesina of truma, to nesina of reish hagez? And just like by truma, which is a mitzvah tluya be'oretz, it's dependent on the land, and a mitzvah that's dependent on the land is only noig in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Lartz, so too should be the din by reish hagez. Alama tanan, why do we learn in our Mishnah, right at the beginning of our Mishnah, Kuflam and Hayamad Aleph, reish hagez noig be'oretz uba Chutz Lartz? Even though we learned on this stuff that Rabbi Loi holds that Reish, and that's how Nohag Alma, that the world is Noyig, that Reish Hagez is not in Chutz La'aretz, but that's the sheet of Rabbi Loi. But the Tana of our Mishnah, at the beginning of our Mishnah, held that Reish Hagez is Noyig Ba'aretz Uba Chutz La'aretz. Now, if you're saying our Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon, and that's why he didn't make a chilek concerning Trefa between Matnas Kahuna and Reish Hagez, if so, if you have such a gzeir shavah, let him make a gzeir shavah between reish hagez and truma, and therefore reish hagez shouldn't be noig in chutz lartz. And our Mishnah says it is noig in chutz lartz. Answers the Gemara that, in fact, our Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon, who holds that reish hagez is potter when the animal is a treifa, and therefore it is like matonois, where there's no din of treifas by matonis either. The animal is not kosher for a korban, so obviously there are no matonis by treifas. And that's why the Mishnah didn't list this as a difference between the matonois and reishis hagez. But not that he learns it out as gzeira shavin, the sina sina from matanos, because then we would have had the question, why doesn't he learn it out from truma? Elahayna time at Reb Shimon. The reason of Reb Shimon is the yolif tsoin tsoin mi meiser. He learns out a totally different gzeira shava from meiser behema, where the tenth animal, all the animals have to go through a small enclosure, and the tenth one is hit with a rod, marking it as the meiser behema. And then, as we have the last Rashi on the Amud, which states, it is eaten to the Baal, the owner, as a korban shlomim. So we find by meiser, ma meiser treifaloi, afreishis hagez treifaloi, just like by meiser behema, there is no din of meiser behema by a treifa, so too, by reishis hagez, there's no din of reishis hagez by a treifa. Now the psukim of tsoin tsoin, the first sign is by Reish, I guess, that we've had this pasuk all the way through this whole daf. Reish is the Goncha to Reish with Tzarecha, but Reish is gazed, Soincha, Titein Loi. That's one sign. And the second sign we find at the end of Parshat B'chukaisai, the end of Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, in Perik Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Beis, where the pasuk states, V'chol Maser Bokor V'tsoin, and all the Miser of your cattle and your sheep, Kol Hashayav or Tachas Hashevet, everything that passes under the rod, the tenth one should be Kodesh Hashem. So again, we have there v'chol maser bakar v'tzoin. So this is the gzeira shava that we're making, tzoin tzoin for meiser. Just like by meiser behema, there is no din by a treifa, so too by reish hagez. So the Gemara asks v'hosam inol, and how do you know in fact that by meiser behema there is no din of treifa? D'chsiv kolesh yaver tachas hashevet, that it's the animal that goes under the rod, prat l'treifa she'en oiveris, that excludes a treifa that does not go under the rod. Rashi seems to have had the girsa, yesh treifa she'en oiveris tachas hashevet. There is a type of a treifa, a type of an animal that cannot live because of its defect, and that is the animal that if its leg is cut off above the knee, it's unable to walk through under the shevet. And Rashi says that once we're memayit that this treifa, there's no meiser behema. From that, we learn out as a prototype that all other treifas, likewise, there is no din of meiser behema. And from the gzeir shava of tzayin tzayin, we will learn that hu adin by reish hagez, there's no din of reish hagez by a treifa. Continues the Gemara. Why are you telling me that we are learning out Tsoin tsoin gzeir shava from reishis hagez, taking it from meiser behema? Let's take the same gzeir shava v'leil of tsoin tsoin mebuchar. We have a different source also using the word tsoin, and we've learned before that when you have a gzeir shava that can go l'kula or l'chumra, you go l'chumra. So here, let's go l'chumra and learn out from bechor, ma bechor afil treifa, just like there's a halacha of bechor even by treifa, as Rashi points out, because the bechor has kedusha merechem. From the womb of its mother, it's holy, and that holiness goes on a treifa as well. So just like there's a din of bechor by treifa, af reish segez afil treifa, we'll learn reish segez by treifa also. And both by bechor and by reish segez, it used the word tsoin. We had the pasuk by tsoin, by reish segez before, reish segez tsoin chatiten loy, and then we have the pasuk by bechor, kol bechor asher yivoleid bechor chov tsoin cha, hazacher taglish Hashem alekecha. So, therefore, let's make, instead of tsoin tsoin from meiser behema, let's make tsoin tsoin from bechor, and then the din would be that reish hagez would be even by treifa, just like bechor is even by treifa. Answers the Gemara, Mistavra, it makes sense that mi meiser havle lemev, that we learn out from meiser, because there are seven ways in which reish hagez is similar to meiser. So you're right. If all things would be equal, then we would learn out the gzeir shava l'chumra to learn it from Bukhar that there's a din of reish hagez even by treifa. But since it's in so many ways comparable to meiser behema, so then we leave it as a limud from meiser behema, and reish hagez is potter by treifa. What are the seven ways that it's comparable to meiser behema? Shekein zecharim. The first one, and Rashi explains all of the seven, the first one is zecharim. That Meiser and Reish Hagez, you don't need Zecharim. It could be even on the Kavis. But by Bechor, it's only by a Zachar. The second one is Temeyin, Rashi explains. Maisen Reish Hagez is only Noyeg by Tahorim, by kosher animals, and not Temeyim. But Bechor is Noyeg even by a Chamor. That's what we do, Petr Chamor. And therefore, there's a difference between Bechor and Reish Hagez, whereas Reish Hagez is comparable in this matter to Maisa Behema. The third thing is Bimerubin, that Maiser Behema is only by 10 animals, the 10th one. Reish Hagez, we have the machlokes in the Mishnah between Beisham and Beisil, we pass like Beisil 5. However, Bechor is even by a singular Bechor. The fourth way is Meirechem, that Maiser and Reish Hagez are not Kaddish Meirechem, but Bechor is Kaddish Meirechem. The fifth one is Adam. There is Bechor by Adam, but there is no inyan of Reish Hagez or Maiser by an Adam. The sixth way is Pashut, that both Maiser Behema and Reish Hagez are by plain animals. They're not by a Bechor. There's no din of Reish Hagez or Maiser by a Bechor. They're only by Pashut. And the seventh way is concerning Lifnei HaDibur. Maiser and Reish Hagez are not knowing before the Torah was given. Dibur refers to the Torah. And Bechor was Noeg even before the Torah was given, as we find by the Bechorim who were Kadosh, Rashi brings down, in Mitzrayim. So there are seven ways that Reish Hagez is comparable to Maiser Behema, and that's why we compare it to Maiser Behema. Ask the Gemara, Adarabba, Mebechor Havalei Lemelev. We should learn our Reish Hagez from Bechor, because we find numerous ways that Reish Hagez is comparable to Bechor. Shekain Yosoim. The first one is Yosem. As Rashi explains, Bechor and Reish Hagez are noig by Yosem, which means if the mother died during the birth of the baby animal, as Rashi puts it, Zeh Pirush L'chaim, Zeh Pirush L'mi. So the mother died in childbirth and the child lived. There's a din of Bechor and Reish Hagez. But by Meiser, we learn how to say Reish Shavuf of Tachas, Tachas from Kachem. Just like by Kachem it says Tachas Imoy, that you can only make something Kaddish for Korban if the mother is still alive, but if the mother died during childbirth, the yosem cannot be brought as a korban. So, therefore, there is no halacha of meiser behema because of this gzeirah shavah from kachim. However, bechor is kadosh even if it is a yosem, even if the mother died. But you cannot bring it as a korban, that is true. So Rashi explains, yirachi itzav, you pasture it until it develops a mum, and then the kohen is able to eat it with its mum. It can't be brought as a korban, but the kohen can eat it in its mum outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So in this way, Reish Hagez is comparable to Bechor. The second way is Shelokhu. A Bechor and Reish Hagez is not even if you bought the animal, but Meiser is Potter if you bought the animal. The third way is Shutvis. Bechor and Reish Hagez are chayiv even if it's owned by Shutvin, whereas Meiser Behema is Potter, because the Pasuk says, Yeh Lecha. And we learn out l'cha singular and not from shutva. The fourth way is nesanoi. Bechor and Reish Hagez are noyeg even if it was given to the person as a matana, but meiser is potter if it was given as a matana. The fifth way is bifnei, which means bifnei habayis. Reish Hagez and Bechor are noyeg even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but meiser is noyeg only bifnei habayis, only while the Beis HaMikdash is in existence, because afterwards Rashi brings down they were gozer, because we learned that a yosem by meiser is potter, and we learned that lakoach, if it was bought by meiser, it's potter, and therefore the chachamim made gzera after Churban Beis HaMikdash that there should no longer be any meiser behema, so that the regular animals should not get confused with the yosem and the lakoach, and therefore there is no meiser behema after Churban Beis HaMikdash. The next way is Kayin, that Reish Hagez and Bechor are matanis to the Kayin. However, Meiser belongs to the owners, as we mentioned before, the last Rashi on the Amud, and he eats it as a Shlomim, as we turn to Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. And the last two ways that Reish Hagez is similar to Bechor is Bekedusha. Rashi has two pshatim. The second pshat of Rashi, he says, Lav Milsi, he shlugs it up. And therefore, we're going to go with the first pshat of Rashi, that Bekedusha means a Bechor, you don't have to be Magdashit, because it's Kaddish Merechem. It has its own Kedusha. So the Bailam don't have to make it Kaddish. Reish Hagez also is not Kaddish. It has no Kedusha whatsoever on it. You have to give it to the Kohen, but it has no Kedusha. Whereas Meiser, he's magdish it with the shevet. He has to strike it with the rod, and then it becomes kaddish. So it's not kaddish merechem. It does have kedusha, and therefore bechor is comparable to reish sagez, that you don't have to make either the bechor or reish sagez kaddish. And the final way that bechor and reish sagez are similar is mechira, that both by bechor and reish sagez, which the koyehin receives, he's allowed to sell it, but by meiser behemer, Rashi brings the chazal, which say that it's not nimker chai oy shachet, whether it's alive or shechted, slaughtered. The only time we would sell it is if it belongs to a yosim. And now the Gemara points out, v'hanach nefishin. You are telling me that really we have a rule to learn out always l'chumr. So we should have learned out soin soin from b'choyer l'chumra, that there is a din of b'choyer even by a treifa. But then you told me no, but since it's comparable to Meister Behema in seven ways, therefore we compare it to Meister Behema and it's putter by treifa. But now I'm showing you that Reish Sagez is comparable to b'choyer in eight ways. So v'hanach nefishin, it's even comparable in more ways to Bechor than to Meister Behema. So why don't we compare Reish Sagez to Bechor, and therefore there should be a din of Reish Sagez even by a treifa, just like there is by Bechor? Answers the Gemara, Pashtim Pashiv Adavalei, because there is one characteristic which is the same by Reish Sagez and Meister, which is not like Bechor, and that is that both of them are a mitzvah, which is chayiv when the animal is a pashit, when it's not a Bechor, and that comparison is so strong it overrides any other comparison. It overrides the fact that there are eight ways that it's Reish Sagez is comparable to Bechor and only seven ways to Meiser, and because they're both in essence the same type of animal, Pashut, therefore we make the comparison between Reish Sagez and Meiser, and therefore the din is there is no din treifa, Rav Shimon holds by Reish Sagez, and that's why that chilek was not mentioned in our Mishnah between Reish Sagez and Matanis, because by both are not chal on an animal that is a treifa. Continues the Gemara, learning the next part of the Mishnah. Reish Sagez ain't a noig ela b'rechelim. It's only noig by sheep. Minohani mili. How do we know this? Tosis explains, the top Tosis minohani mili, that the Gemara wants to know, how do we know it's only by sheep and not by goats? Because goats are also called tzoyin, as we find in Bereish Chav Zayin, when Rivka told Yaakov to prepare goats for Yitzchak, she said, lech no el atzoyin v'kachli misham shnei gediyei izim. So we see, she said to Yaakov, go to the tzoyin, go to the sheep, with the flock, and in fact, it was not sheep, it was Gidiyeizim. So therefore, if the Torah tells you to take Reish's geis tzoincha, that should include goats as well. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Chisda, Asya Giza Giza. We learn a pasuk in Chumash from a pasuk in Ksuvim. Siv Hach, it says here, the pasuk we've been dealing with the whole time, Reish's geis tzoincha titan loy. Uksiv Hasim, and then there's a pasuk in the E of Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Chav, Umigeis Kvasa Yischamim. He would warm himself with the fleece of my sheep, Malahal Kvasim. Just like over there, the word geis is associated with sheep, Avkan Kvasim. So too over here, we say that the word Giza by the Reish's geis, the giving it to the Kohen, is also by Kvasim. Now, Tosis, in the second Tosis, says, Afal gav the divrei Torah, divrei Kabbalah, loyal feeling. We have a rule that you don't learn out Chumash from Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which are called divrei Kabbalah. So Tosis answers, you're not learning it out from Kabbalah. Gili Musa ba'amhu, the gaze the kvasim hu. Ve'ein zed davar chadish. And nu halacha, we don't learn out from after the Chumash. We only learn it out from Chamisha Chumashe Torah. But we can look at the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the divrei Kabbalah, to explain to us and reveal to us what the Chumash was speaking about. When the Chumash was speaking about Giza, it meant, we see, what it says in Eiv, that Giza is referring to kvasim, to sheep and not to goats. Then Tosis says that from the Gemara later is going to ask, what do we do with this Gzei Rishavah? It's mashma that there is an actual Gzei Rishavah here. But Tosis ends off, Mikol Makom Ein Adavar Chadash, even if it's a Gzei Rishavah, but you're not learning anything new from the Gzei Rishavah, and therefore there is no problem here learning from Divrei Kabbalah. It's only when you learn something new that there's a problem in learning from Divrei Kabbalah. Ask the Gemara, V'neil of Giza Giza V'Bechoyer, why don't we learn out if you have Gzei Rishavah Giza Giza, let's learn out from Bechoyer. And over there we'll find that there are other animals which are included in Giza, the Sani, we learned in the Braisa. Loisavet B'Bechoyer Sharcha, don't do work with your firstborn ox, the firstborn of your sheep, you should not shear the wool. From this pasuk, I see only that you're not allowed to do avoda with a shor and shear the sheep. How do we know you're not allowed to do work with a sheep and you're not allowed to take off the hair of a ox as well? Talmud loimer loy savit v'loy sigoyz. As Rashi explains, the Vav is machaber the two items together. Loisavid v'loisigoyz. The Vav is being machaber that loisavid goes on sheep, and loisigoyz goes earlier in the pasuk on oxen. So now we have giza from Bechor, and over there it includes even from an ox. So maybe we should include Reish Zagez not only for sheep, but for oxen as well. The Gemara answers, Amar Kra, Titein Loi V'Loi L'Sakoi. What can you make from a ox hair? You can only make a coarse item, not a fine article of clothing, but rather a sack. So the Torah says, Titein Loi. And Rashi seems to have had the gear seer, Lemalbush. Give it to him for his own personal use so he can wear it. Don't give it to him just to use as a sack. So therefore, since the Torah by Reish Zagez says Titein Loi, you have to give it for the personal body, physical use of the Kohen himself, that he could wear it on his body as an article of clothing. Therefore, memayate the giza of a shoyer, because that giza could only be used for a sack. So, as the Lev Aryeh is going to explain the next piece of Gemara, it comes out that really giza includes other fabrics as well. Really, it would include even a shoyer as well. It's only a problem because you cannot make an article of clothing from the ox hair. You can only make a coarse sack from the ox hair. But let's say I'll find a different fabric which could be made into fine clothing, then that l'chari that should be included in Giz El Miata. That leads to the Gemara's next question. If so, noitz ishalizim l'chayiv, when you pluck, noitz means, Rashi says, that just like when you pluck feathers, so too by a goat, you don't shear it, but you pluck it by hand. That's why it's called noitza, the same like noitza of birds. You're plucking out the feathers. So when you pluck the hair of goats, l'chayiv, let that be chayiv in Reishis Hagez, because as the Lev Aryeh explains, from this you could make fine clothing. And we've seen before that loisigoyz doesn't only include wool, it includes other fabrics as well. Just shore you couldn't use because it only makes sacks. But here where you can make fine clothing, let's include that. Answers the Gemara, no, because you need giza, being in giza v'leka. This is plucking. It's not shearing. You also need shearing, and that would not apply to goat's hair, which is plucked by hand. Ask the Gemara, man shamalei l'haisvar, Rabbi Yossi, who is the Tana, as we'll see later on this Amid, that holds this type of svar, meaning that you take the pasuk literally. If the Torah said, for example, Rabbi Yossi speaking about his Rashi brings down concerning the mitzvah of leket, where the Torah uses the word kitzircha, v'loi leket kituf. It's only the whole mitzvah of leket, which are pieces of wheat that have fallen down. It's only if you're reaping it with a sickle, but not when it falls down from kituf, from produce which is plucked out from the ground by hand. So Rabbi Yossi is the one who's very particular on the wording of the pasuk. If the pasuk used the word of kitzircha, so he learns out that's mamaye plucking it. So the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yossi would say the same thing. If giza is the word that's used, then it would be shearing with shears, and it would exclude when you pluck it by hand. But if it's going like Rabbi Yossi, hamaydu Rabbi Yossi b'midi d'urcha, we're going to learn later on Damid that Rabbi Yossi's might, if you have a item of produce which the normal way to get it out of the ground is not by reaping it, but rather with a sickle, but rather by pulling it out with your hands, then Rabbi Yossi's might, if that's the way, then that's equal, that's tantamount to reaping it with a sickle. So if so, here where we're speaking about taking wool off a sheep, so by a sheep you use shears, whereas by a goat, the derech, the urcha, the normal way is to pluck it out. So why would that be a problem? So the Gemara says, you're right. We're not going to go in that approach. We're going to take a whole new approach. How do we know that the Reish Lakish does not include goat's hair? Elektron Rabbi Shua ben Levi. It's going to go like the same like what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, as we learned before, Rashi had put in the word titein loy lemalbush, give it to him as a garment. We learned in our Mishnah that you have to give the kohen an amount of wool that can make the smallest beged cotton, a small article of clothing. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, what article of clothing is that? Something that we find in the very next pasuk, in the Devarim Yud Ches Pasuk Dalid, That's the pasuk of Reishis Gei Son Chatitelai. The very next pasuk in pasuk Hey, it says Ki Voi Bachar Hashem Lekecha Mikol Shvatecha Lama Lishoris B'Shem Hashem Hu Uvan of Kol Yom. This kain is the one Hashem chose from all the shvatim to serve Him. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi puts the juxtaposition of the two psukim together and learns that you have to give it loy, you have to give it to the kain, the Reishis Gei as a malbush. What type of malbush? That I learned from the next pasuk, Lamed Lashar, is to stand in front of Hashem and serve Him. Davar Haroy L'Shirus, something that is appropriate to serve Hashem with. And what is that? The smallest item that you can give is a gartel, a avnate, the sash that the Kohen wore around his stomach. That's the smallest art of clothing. Hachanami, just like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explained that's the small article of our Mishnah, which you give to the Kohen Reish Gez. Hachanami Dover Roy L'Shiris. So for our limit here, that it has to be only wool, I'll learn the same thing, because just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen was wearing the Avnate that was made out of Semer, it had to be made bedafka out of wool, so too, when we're learning here about Giza, it cannot be goats, a hair, because that's not what was used in the Beis HaMikdash for the Avnate. Therefore, it has to be wool. That's how I know that it has to be bedafka from Tzemer, and there is no Chiyuv Reish Gez on goat's hair. Continues the Gemara, Ela Giza, Giza L'may Asa, as the Ritva explains, at the top of the Amud we had that Rav Chisda had Gzer Shava of Giza, Giza, on the third line of the Amud. The Gemara thought that Rav Chisda's Gzer Shav of Giza was to teach us that it's only from wool and not from goat's hair. But now that we're learning this out from Rav Yeshua ben Levi, that it has to be Dover HaRoy L'Shirus, that you can do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it has to be made from Tzemer. So in what connection did Rav Chisda make the original Gzer Shav of Giza from the Pasuk concerning race, I guess, to the Pasuk in Iyav, Umegeiz, Kvasa Yishamam? Answers the Gemara, look at the Tana of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana of Bei Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in Yeshua Rabbi Shmuel, Kavashin Shet Simron Kasha, sheep whose wool is hard. Rashi says it was Mishunna, that it was unusual that instead of having soft wool, they had hard wool. Pturim Reish Gez, there's no din of Reish Gez, Shenemar. That's what we learn out from the Gzeir Shav of Giza from Iyuv, Umigez, Kvasa Yitzchamam. We learn out, again, like Tosfos said before, it's a Gilui Milsa. It's not teaching us a new thing, but it's teaching us a definition. What's called gaze? What's called a shearing? Only that of a lamb, of a sheep, which is yischamam. If it heats, if it warms a person, but if you wear a clothing made of hard wool, it will not warm a person, and therefore there is no chiyuv of rishus, I guess. That's what I used the Gzeir Shavah for. Now the Gemara goes on to say, Tani Chad, we learned in one braisa, Goiz is Esaizim, if somebody sheared the wool of the hair of goats, or he washed in a river sheep in order to make them look nicer. Rashi says, Liapaisan, so that they should look better by washing them. And while he washed them, some of the hairs of the sheep, some of the wool came off. On both of these halachas, Potter. Then there's no chiv of reish against. But v'tani yedich, we learned on a different brisa. Hagoyz is a izim potter. The reish is the same, that if you sheared off the hair of goats, you're potter. As we learned before, because there's a problem of lamoid l'sharis, davar royal l'shiris, you cannot use goat's hair for the begotim in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you cannot have a chiv of reish against on that, because it's not something that you can give to the kayin. But then we learned a new halacha, v'shaitev ezer chalm chayiv, that if you wash the sheep in the river and the wool came off, you are chayiv on reish gez on that wool. So we have a steer between the two brises. Answer the Gemara, like hash, it's not a steer. Harabban and v'harab yaisi. This will be the machlokes rabban rab yaisi, the sign we learned in the brisa, concerning a different halacha, leket ketzircha. We mentioned this before, leket, which is the gleanings, if one or two stalks fall down during the harvest, during the reaping of the wheat, it belongs to the ani, so the Rabbi Yossi is medayik, leket kitzircha, it's only the leket of that which you are reaping, v'loy leket kitzircha, but if you pluck the wheat out of the ground, on that there is no chiyuv. So the Gemara is saying that the Rabbanan don't darshan the word kitzircha like Rabbi Yossi does. Rabbi Yossi is very exact, the Torah used the word kitzircha, that's memayit kitzircha, and the Rabbanan say as long as you get it out of the ground, there's still a chiyuv of leket, whether it's kitzircha, whether it's kitzircha, it makes no difference. So the same will apply to the Giza of Tzemer. The Rabbi Yossi will hold, it has to be dafke, like the Torah says, reish is geis, so it has to be shorn off. But if you have wool which came off the sheep in water, in the river, there will be no chivah reish geis. And the Rabbanan say, it doesn't matter. Any way that the wool comes off, whether it's through shearing, whether it's through the water, you would be chivah reish geis. Then the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, ain leket el abo machmas kotzer. There's only leket, something that comes from reaping and not from plucking. So the Gemara doesn't understand. Rabbi Yossi handed Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi is saying the exact same thing in this Braisa, like the Tanakama. The Gemara answers, kula Rabbi Yossi, ain echanami. There is a machloikis to Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. But in this particular Braisa that we're bringing, this is only the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. V'hachi iktani, and this is how we learn the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, ain leket el abo machmas kotzer. That first the Rabbi Yossi said that leket kitzir cha v'loy leket kituv, and then shahoyu Rabbi Yossi Yomer ain leket labo machmas kotzer. It's all one memra of Rabbi Yossi. First he stated the halacha, and then he explained the reason of his halacha is because leket only comes machmas kotzer. But ain echanami the rabbanan argue on the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, and the steer that we had in the brises concerning reish geis will be totally in the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the rabbanan whether the Torah you have to be medactic exactly the word the Torah said geis, or any way that the wool comes off, even through a river, according to Rabbanan, would be mechuyev. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rava l'Rav Ashi Moide Rav Yosi b'Midi de'Urchei. Rav Yosi is Moide that sometimes, although the Torah tells us that you have to reap it with a sickle, kitzir, but yet, if the normal way of taking this produce out of the ground is by pulling it out, that is considered its method of reaping, even without a sickle. And Rashi says, for example, betzolim onions or shumim garlics, the derech is to pull it out of the ground by hand. Rabbi Yossi will be moida that the dinim of leket, or as we're going to see, peyah, are noheg. Disanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yossi Aymer. Now, Rashi tells us on the fourth wide line of Rashi that loy garsinan. In this brisa, we're not gairus. And that's why the next Monday Yomer is going to tell us that I found Rabbi Yossi's name Mefurish in a Braisa. But in this Braisa, we can deduce that the Monday Yomer, who is the author of this Braisa, is Rabbi Yossi, because his stress is going to be on the precise wording of the Pasuk, Kotzir, that it means reaping with a sickle. However, Rashi maintains that Rabbi Yossi's name is not written before Mefurish in this Braisa. So says the Braisa, Ketzir, and this is referring to a pasuk in Vayikra, Perik Yutes, pasuk Tes, concerning the mitzvah of pay, of leaving over a corner of the field for the aniyim, ubekutzrichem, it's Ketzir Arzichem, and when you reap the reaping of your ground, loi, sechala pasotcha lichtzar, you should not also remove the produce from the corner of your field to harvest that, to reap that, the leket, Ketzir choloi selakate, and also the gleanings that fall down, that you should not collect, but rather you should leave it over for the ani. So now the word kitzir, or a derivation of the word kitzir, is written a few times in this pasuk, and it's extra. So Rabbi Yossi says the following, kitzir, ainly ela kitzir. I know only that the Torah was mechayev, the din of peah, when you are reaping the field using a sickle. But oikar b'nayin, how do you know if you uproot something with its roots, with the shrushim? Rashi gives an example like adoshim, lentils. How do you know that, since that's the normal way that that's included, that is its type of reaping, even though it's not with a sickle? Tamid lemer lichtzar. That's why the pasuk put in an extra word, loisachala pasotcha lichtzar. It didn't have to say that. It used already a kitzir at the beginning of the pasuk. But kutzrichem es kitzir artzichem. It just should have said, loisachala pasotcha. What's the extra lichtzar? That's to tell me that you're chayiv even for oiker the adoshim. Toilish, minayin, how do you know if you pluck out, like pulin, Rashi says, beans, not with the roots, but just you pluck off the beans, how do you know that's included? Talmud Laimer, because the Torah continues and uses the word kutzrecha. It says an extra word there as well. And therefore, that we learn for plucking out the pool and the beans. Amalei Ravina Ravashi said, Ravina Ravashi, Afa nan nami tanina, Rashi l'shitasei, that was not goyris in the brice before Rabbi Yossi Yomer, learns that Ravina is telling Ravashi, we have also learned mefurish that Rabbi Yossi holds that if it's the urche, if it's the normal way, then even if you're not using a sickle, it's considered as if you were reaping with a sickle. Where do we learn this? We learned this actually not in a Braisa, but we learned this in a Mishnah in Peya, Paragimel Mishnah Dalet, as the Masar Shas brings down. And what's it referring to? A machloik is between Rabbi Yosi and Chacham concerning Melavnei Spitzolim. These are rows of onions, which are Shabena Yerg, they're between the rows of greens. Now, Rashi brings down that one of the requirements for a field to be chayav and peya is that the produce that's taken from that field has to be machnisa lakiyim. You have to be able to bring it into a barn, into your house, and it should stay there for a long time. But something like greens, which spoils very quickly, that's not machnisa lakiyim, and there's no din of peya. So it comes out, onions, which are machnisa lakiyim, you can harvest the onions and have it in your shed, in your barn, in your house for a long time. So that is chayav and peya. The irakos, the greens, are not chayav and peya. They spoil. So now if I have rows of onions, and between each row of onions, I have a row of irakim. So Rabbi Yossi, I'm repayim, kol echad v'yechad. The irakim, the greens, which are not chayav and peya, divide up the field of onions, which is chayav and peya. And therefore, it's like, let's say you had 10 rows of onions, it's like having 10 small fields of onions separated one from another because of the rows of the irakim. You chayv pay on each one. You have to leave over the corner of each field. The chachamim and the chachamim disagree, and they say me'achas ala koil, that we do not consider the irakos as if they're a division between the betzolim. It's considered one big field of betzolim. You make one pay on the entire thing. But meanwhile, what do we see from this mission in peya? That Rabbi Yossi has a machlokes with the chachamim whether you have to give many payas or just one. But both the Rabbi Yossi and the chachamim are moda that you have to give paya, even though betzolim are not harvested with a sickle. And yet the Torah by paya uses the word katzir. And Rabbi Yossi is always very careful in the precise meaning of the word. And yet he says betzolim is chayav paya. The answer is because pulling out the betzolim from the ground, that is considered as if you are reaping it, and it's included in what the Torah called Katsir, because that's the Urche, so we see Meferish, that that's Rabbi Yossi Shita, and his name is mentioned Meferish in this Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes on to explain the next part of the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Lamed Hei Amid Aleph, where the Mishnah stated that Reish Zagez is not Noyig only b'merubah. Matnes Kahuna, the Zroi L'chayim and Kevah are Noyig even by one animal, and Reish Zagez is only by many animals. Then the Mishnah asks, Kama hu merubah? What is considered many animals? And there was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and each one brought a pasuk to prove his point. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that two is already considered a flock of tzoin. The pasuk uses Reish's gaze tzoincha. That's already considered a flock. And he brings a raya from a pasuk in Yeshaya where it says, V'hoyo b'yoymahu yichya ish eglas bakar u'shnei tzoin, that a man will raise one calf and two sheep. So we see already that two sheep is considered tzoin. And Beis Hillel says you need five. How do we know that? That's from a pasuk in Shmuel by Avigail, the wife of Novel, who brought David and his people who were with him. She brought many things to eat, and one of them was chamesh tzoin asuyos, five prepared tzoin. So Beis Hillel says, you see from here, that tzoin means five. The Gemara questions the sheet of Beis Hillel. Bishlam le Beis Shammai, it's good according to Beis Shammai, tartin amikri tzoin. They say that if you find anywhere that even two are called tzoin, so that already makes you chayv and reishis, I guess. El le Beis Hillel, but according to Beis Hillel, my time, you're right, you found a pasuk in Shmuel that five is tzoin, but you found a pasuk in Yeshaya, Beis Shammai found a pasuk where even two is tzoin. So why should the five make it that the two are not chayv in reishis, I guess? They should also be chayv if they're called tzoin. Amar Rav Kahana said, Rav Kahana, Amar Kvar, the pasuk said, asuyois. The word, Rashi explained the words asuyois, prepared as extra. Because, of course, Novel was bringing to David tzoin that they could eat with all the other edible things that she was bringing to David. So why did the Navi, why did he say asuyois, that it's prepared? And the pshat must be that she'ois is based mitzvahs. Now, once I have five, I have two mitzvahs that I can perform. What are the two mitzvahs? Reishis agezu matanois. Matanois are even on less than five. But once I have five, I also have a second mitzvah of Reishis Hagez. Ask the Gemara, Eima B'chara Matanis. Maybe the Torah is speaking about two other mitzvahs which you can perform. There's a plural of mitzvahs that you can perform. Asuyos, you can do many mitzvahs. But who says we're speaking about Reishis Hagez? Maybe we're speaking about B'chara and Matanis. The Gemara answers, B'chara Chadam Yilay Mechaiva. Aren't you also Chayiv for one Bechor, you don't need five. And here, she was giving, Avigal was giving to David five, that he could do the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez. And she knew that less than five, there would be no mitzvah of reishis, I guess. So if it would be becharis matanis, you wouldn't need five. But the Gemara says, well, the time eich, matanis chada milo mechaiva. Aren't you chayiv matnas kuna even by one? So Rashi explains that if asuyas just means that once I have five, I can perform two mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Why do you need five to be mechaiv two mitzvahs? I can be mechaiv two mitzvahs with less than five. I can be mechayev, if the whole goal was to be mechayev in two mitzvahs, I can be mechayev with two animals, or I can even be mechayev, Rashi explains, with one. Because if I have a female sheep, for example, who gives birth to a male sheep, so on the male sheep there's a din bechor, and on the female, once you shecht it, there's a din of matnas kuna, Israel chayim and keva. So with one animal, I can be mechayiv two mitzvahs. What do I need five? I can do matnas kahuna and bechayra with one, or certainly with two animals. One's a bechayra and one is the matnas kahuna. Why, in fact, do you need five? So it cannot be that the word asuyas is teaching you that you are able to perform two mitzvahs with five, when actually you can perform with two animals, or even with one animal, you could perform two mitzvahs. Elam Ravashi, you know what the limit is? Asuyais. It's from the word asuyais, but a different idea. Shema ases es balayan. Once you get to five, the five forces you to do a mitzvah which you would not have been able to do until you got to the number five. It's ma'aseh says balayim, it forces the Baal Varmerso, and it says to him, kumaseh mitzvah, get up, now you have five, do the mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of reishis, I guess, because that's only noyeg when you have five. This is where Beis Hillel learns that sign concerning reishis, I guess, is only by the number five. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, and we will go with the Girsa of Rashi and the Duke Seifrim to take out the next word, the Bay, and rather Rashi's Gairis, Omar. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Omar, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yaisi, and we skipped the word Omer. Omar, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yaisi, Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yaisi, said in the name of his father, Rabbi Yaisi, Arba, that the amount of sheep that are required for the mitzvah of Reish Hages is four. Remember, we have a Pasuk in Chumash, in Shmoy's Perchaval of Pasuk Lamed Zayin, that when someone steals a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he's Tavechu Moicher Va'arbatzain Tachas Haseh, he has to pay back to the owner four times the value of the original sheep. So we see that sign, a flock of sheep, refers to four. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, so I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe said, El Moli Divrei and Divrei Torah, if the words of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were written in Chumash, in the Torah, v'divrei b'rebi kabbalah, and the words of Rabbi Yossi, who had this title, as Rashi says, b'rebi means he was gadol b'doyrei, he was the giant of his generation. As we have learned, that the Masor Shashas brings down that this is an Erev in Daf Yudalet Amid Beis, Rabbi Yossi nemukoi imoi, Rabbi Yossi's logic surpassed anybody else of his generation, and therefore he was considered the gadol ador. So Rebbe is saying that if the words of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were predicated on a verse in Torah, and Rabbi Yossi, this great Gadol Ador, B'Rebbe, this title that he received, was from Divrei Kabbalah, was from the words of the Nevi'im or the Ksuvim, which are Kabbalah, Anan Divrei B'Rebbe Shammai, we would still listen to Rebbe. The Kol Shekhen, and certainly should Divreim Divrei Kabbalah, that in fact, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are predicated on the words of the Navi. Beis Shammai is from a pasuk in Yeshaya, and Beis Hillel is from a pasuk in Shmuel. V'divrei b'Rebbe, and where are the words of Rabbi Yossi based on? Divrei Torah, they were based on a pasuk in Chumash. So certainly the Chumash has more strength than the Nevi'im, which are Divrei Kabbalah. Rashi points out a beautiful definition of why Chumash is called Torah, and the Nevi'im and Ksuvim are called Divrei Kabbalah. These are approximately 10 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Torah's Moshe Kruya Torah, Lefisha Nitna Torah L'Doris. The Torah of Moshe was given as a teaching. The word Torah is from the word of teaching. It was given to be taught to future generations. They shall Nevi'im Leikari Ala Kabbalah, but the words of the Nevi'im are only called Kabbalah, receiving Shekiblu Meruach HaKadosh Kol Nevu Nevuah Lefi Tzairach HaShoah V'Hador V'Maisa. Each Navi received through Ruach HaKodesh, he received all prophecy according to the needs of the hour, the generation, and the act. So that was a more specific acceptance of the Ruach HaKodesh from HaKodesh Baruch Hu in the form of Nevuah. That acceptance is called Divrei Kabbalah. So Rebbe is saying that even if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were Divrei Torah, and Rabbi Yossi was based on the Navi, we would still listen to Rabbi Yossi. Certainly, if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is based on Divrei Kabbalah, on Psukim from Yeshaya and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yossi is in fact based on Chumash, we're certainly going to listen to Rabbi Yossi. And why is it certain that we should listen to Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Yossi is the Machria. That's what the Gemara understood. Rabbi Yossi is in the middle. Beis Shammai require two animals for Reish Gaz, Beis Hillel require five, and Rabbi Yossi is in the middle. So we always go in the compromise of four. Ask the Gemara, Vomer Mar, Einach Rosh Lishis Machraz, but we have learned that if you have a middle opinion, a third middle opinion between two extreme opinions, that is not, the halacha does not follow that middle opinion. And this long Rashi here explains that it's not always when a compromise viewpoint is accepted. Rashi gives two examples, and we will not go into the examples, Ayin and Rashi, exactly what those examples are, but the thrust of Rashi, what he's trying to say is that if you have one man diyamar who has an opinion, and he has it in case A and in case B, and he says the din applies in both cases. You have another opinion that says the din does not apply in both cases. You have a third opinion that says it does apply in case A, but it does not apply in case B. Then we would go like the Machria. Why? Because that middle opinion, on each case, we now have Achir Rabim Lahatis. On case A, we have the first Mandi Yomer and the compromise who agree. On case B, we have the compromise and the second opinion who say that it does not apply to that din. So on each din, we either have two that say it does apply or two that say it does not apply. So you go with the majority of two against one. However, in a case, and Rashi gives examples of each of these cases, in a case where, such as ours, where it's just a matter of being in the middle, Beis Shammai said two, and Beis Hillel said five, and Rabbi Yossi says four, but he's not being machria that in one case I hold like Beis Shammai, in the other case I hold like Beis Hillel. He's just a compromise candidate. He's just going with a middle opinion. That, the Gemara says, that's not called a real achra. It's not a achra rabim lahatis. It's just a compromise between five and two. You get to four. So on that we say, ein achra shlishis machras. That type of achra where you're not coming out as a achra rabim, on one of the two cases, you go one way, and the other one of the two cases, you go the other way. That's a good achra. But if it's not that type, just in the middle, that's not called achra. So therefore, why should we say that Allah here is like Rabbi Yossi? Why is Rabbi so impressed with Rabbi Yossi here? As we turn to the Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, no, because Mipi Shmua Amra, Rabbi Yossi said this over, he received it from previous generations. From who? Mipi Chagai Zechar Malachi. He received it from Chagai Zechar Malachi, who lived at the beginning of the Bai Sheni. And therefore, the halacha goes like Rabbi Yossi, that he was going with a Kabbalah, accepting it from the Nevi'im, Chagai Zechar Malachi. Tosfos in Bechairus, where this similar sugya appears, on Daf Nun Ches Amid Aleph, in the bottom, Tosfos Divrei Maskil, Mipi Chagai Zechar Malachi, he brings an opinion of Rashi, that what is so great if Rabbi Yossi said it over from Chagai Zechariah Malachi, says Rashi, because since it's a nevuah, so that is like a hilchasa b'loy tamahu. You can't argue on a nevuah. If Chagai Zechariah Malachi, the Nevi'im are saying it, and Rabbi Yossi is saying it over as a Kabbalah, a Mesorah from them, then that's something we can't debate that. The halacha remains like the nevuah. However, Tosfos says, v'loy hoyoloy lahaskir nevuah, de'ein navi rishar l'chadish davar miyata. Says Tosfos, you cannot mix together Nevuah and Halacha. The Halacha doesn't follow Nevuah. A Navi can't make up a new Halacha. Ella, Tosfos says, we have to say something else. Hoyoloi loimer hilchas gemiri law, that he had a Kabbalah from Chagai Zechariah Malachi. And where did Chagai Zechariah Malachi have it from? They didn't make it up themselves. Rather, they had it as a Kabbalah from Moshe. So it comes out, it's as if it's a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. And if it's a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, you don't argue on that. And then, of course, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So learns Tosfos in the Hesber of the Mipi Hashmu Amra, that Rabbi Yossi said it over as a Messiah, from who? From Chagai Zechariah Malachi, who in turn had received it from Moshe, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, and that's why the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah, where we have a machlokes between Reb Daisa ben Hyrcanus and the Chachamim. Reb Daisa ben Hyrcanus Oimer, that not only do you have to have 5 sheep, but each of the sheep have to produce a mana upras of wool. How much is a mana upras? We have here in the Rashi, the Ramas mana upras, on the third line of the Amud, Rashi states, Shahamana meyazuz, a mana equals 100 zuz, which is also equivalent to esrim chamisha sloim, to 25 sloim. So if you have a mana upras, 1 mana and a half a mana, it equals 37 and a half sloim. Because half of 25 is 12 and a half, added to the 25, you have a total of 37 and a half sloim. So Reb Daisa ben Hyrcanus requires that each sheep has to produce 37 and a half sloim's mishkal, the weight of wool, in order to be chayav and reishis, I guess. Whereas Chachamim say all that is required is that the sheep produce kol shehein, a little bit. Ask the Gemara, v'kama kol shehein. That's not a precise measurement. How much did the Chachamim mean when they said any amount? And here we have various shitas. Amar Rav, Rav said, manu pras. It's a manu pras, but it's not a manu pras for each of the 5 sheep, but rather in totality, it is manu pras. Ubalvachi yihu michumashas, as long as they're divided by 5. In other words, each of the sheep, the 5 sheep, contribute towards the total sum of 37 and a half sloim. As Rashi says, 37 and a half divided by 5 equals 7 and a half. So let's say one sheep produced 8.5 and one sheep produced 6.5. That would not be good. It's not enough to have a total of 37 and a half, but rather it has to be divided by 5, that each one is producing at least 7.5 sloim. Ushmul Amar, and Shmuel says, Shishim, the sheep have to produce 60 sloim. The nicest cell achs l'kayin, gives 1 cell to the kayin. The Gemara is going to ask later that we learned before from the Mishnah that he gives 5 sloim, mishkal, the weight of the wool to the kayin as rachis hages. Continues the Gemara, the next shita. Rabbi Baruch Hanu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Sheish, that the total from which Reish HaGez has to be given is 6 sloim. And how does it divide? L'koyin chamisha, to the koyin you give 5 sloim. The echad loy, the 5 sloim is like we learned in the Mishnah, 5. And he retains 1. Rashi says that if he had 1,000, he would give the same amount. In other words, it's not by percentage, but there's a fixed amount of 5 sloim. So he always gives the koyin 5. If he had 6, he gives 5 to the koyin and keeps 1. If he had 1,000 shearings of sloim of shearings of wool, he would give 5 to the kohen again, and he would keep 995. Ulam Rabbi Elazar, Ula said Rav Elazar, Kol Shein Shaninu. It's not 1 out of 60, and it's not Manu Pras, and it's not 6, and he always gives 5. None of those measurements, but rather Kol Shein Shaninu, as long as he has 1 seller, Rashi says, of wool, he's mechuyev to give Reishis Hages. Says the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, V'kama Noisenlai, how much does he give to the Kayin from the Reish HaGez, Mishkal, the weight of Chamei Shloim, of 5 Shloim of the wool, be Yehuda, this is in Yehuda, Shehein Esher Shloim Begol, that's equal to 10 Shloim of wool in the Golil. So Bishloim L'Rav, we had here 4 different opinions of how much wool has to be shorn from the sheep. According to Rav, it was a total of 37 and a half Shloim. So Rav didn't speak at all about how much he gives a kohen. It could be that Rav agrees to the Mishnah that you have to give 5 of the total 37 and a half sloim that you took from the sheep, that you have to give to the kohen. So according to Rav, it's good. V'Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah, the Rav v'Rabbi Yochanan Nicha, it's good. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that you have to give always 5. If you took off 6, so you give 5 to the coin, you keep 1. If you took up 1,000, you give 5 to the coin, you keep 995. But he's consistent with the mission that you give 5. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel. V'rabbi Elazar kasha. Why? Because what were their opinions? Shmuel's opinion was that you take a total off the sheep of 60. And from the 60, you give 1 sella. That's against the Mishnah that says 5. And according to Rabbi Elazar, it's for sure difficult, as Rashi explains, because Rabbi Elazar says you take the words of the Chacham Kol Shehein literally, that anything that you take off the sheep, which Rashi says means 1 sella, that has to be given from it, Reishis Hages. Now, if you're only taking 1 sella off, obviously you're unable to give 5 to the Kayin. So according to Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, Kasher, our mission is difficult. Says the Gemara, L'taymeich, and according to your reasoning, according to your understanding, Ularav minicha, why is it good according to Rav? V'Rav Shmuel damer tervayu, Rav Shmuel both said, Reish Zagez b'shishim, that Reish Zagez, you always have to give 1/60th of the amount of wool that you took off the sheep, And since we learned before that Rav said that the total amount from the five sheep is 37.5, then a 60th of 37.5 would be a little more than half a sella, would come out to be 0.625. And we're learning that you need five shloim to give to the kayin. And Rashi adds that even if I'll say that the mana is a larger amount of 40 shloim, because there's some manas of 25 shloim, as we've been learning till now, then there's a larger mana of 40 shloim, but a mana upras, 1.5 manas, that Rav requires from all the five sheep comes out to be 60, because a mana is 40 and a half a mana is 20, together is 60. If the shear of Reish HaGez is 1/60, then all you have is one sella, and the Mishnah says that you need five shloim. So why do you say that according to Rav it works out? It doesn't work out according to Rav either. So the Gemara says, must be that we have to answer Rav, and the answer that we're going to give on Rav will give the answer on the other Mandi Amrim as well. The answer is as follows: Ha'itmar Allah, Dahi Ravu Shmuel Damir Tervayu Bi Yisrael Shiyesh Loi Gizin Harbe Askinan. So the pshat is, as Rashi explains, that when the Mishnah says you have to give five Sloim, that is not going on the regular case of Reish HaGez. The regular case of Reish HaGez, as Ravu Shmuel Bol said, is this year is 1/60, and not five Sloim, and therefore it'll come out that according to Rav, you'll give 5/8 of a sella, because that's what 1/60 of 37.5 will work out to, 5/8 of a sella. According to Shmuel, that you take off 60 sloim and you give one, there's your 1/60. And according to Rabbi Lozer, that it's kol shehein, which is one sella, as Rashi told us before, so it'll come out a 60th, is a 60th of a sella. So according to each opinion of how much wool makes the requirement of Reish HaGez, it'll always be 1/60 of that total amount. The Mishnah said five shloim. So on that, we have another concept developed by Ravu Shmuel, who said that our Mishnah of five shloim is speaking about in a special case, and that is by a Yisrael who has Gizin Harbe. He has a large amount of wool, that even if you'll take off 1/60, it'll equal a large amount, and now he wants to give many kohanim. He doesn't just want to give it to one kohen, he wants to give it to many kohanim. On that, the Mishnah says that you should give a worthy thing that can at least make a beged cotton, and the amount of wool that you would give to each kohen, that would be five shloim. As the Gemara now continues, umevakesh liten l'kayin, he wants to give to the kayin, which Rashi explains means he wants to give it to many kayhanim. V'amrina lehem, we tell him, kol chad v'chad lo yisibot shalem mechashas lohem. You should give him a worthy thing. It should be a chashiv thing, enough to make at least a beged katan, and the worth of that is five shloim. So normally, if you have a small amount, it always goes with 1/60. And that will depend on the amount that is required for Reish HaGez. Is it 37.5? Is it 60? Is it even one sella? And from all that, you'll always take off 1/60. If you have a very large amount and you want to give it to many kohanim, then make sure that each kohen receives at least five shloim. Gufa, we learned before, Ravu Shmuel Damar Tervayu Reish HaGez B'Shishim. But Ravu Shmuel said that the Shir Shishim is not only by Reish HaGez, they also said Truma B'Shishim, 1/60. Pay a B'Shishim, leaving over the corner of your field for the Aniyim, is also 1/60. Ask the Gemara, Truma B'Shishim? Truma is 1/60? Well, not tonight. We learned in a Mishnah, Truma Ayin Yafa Echad Me'arboy, that if you give it in a benevolent way, with a good eye, you give 1/40. If you give it in a bad eye, Ayin Rod, that's 1/60. And a Midas Beininess, then in the middle, that is 1/50. So Rashi explains, are you telling me that Ravu Shmuel is speaking about the mitzvah of Truma, and is speaking about the Ayin Ra of 1/60? They should be speaking about the Ayin Yafa, 1/40. Why do they take for the measurement for the mitzvah the stingy eye of only 1/60? So the Gemara answers, the Raisa B'Shishim. Mid a Raisa, as Rashi explains, that there is a pasuk that Ravu Shmuel found in Yecheskel that shows us that Truma, the Shir Minatayra, is 1/60. And the Rabbanan Barbon, the Rabbanan said, no, that you should give more, and therefore you should give 1/40. Ask the Gemara, the Raisa of a Shishim? Are you telling me that the Raisa is speaking about Shishim? Va'amar Shmuel, chita achas peteris esakri. That mid a Raisa, the Torah says, as Rashi brings down, Reish is the Gancha, that the Torah didn't give any shear, and therefore even one wheat will take away the chi of terumah from the entire pile of wheat that you have. So there is no shear of 1 in 60 min ha-Torah. The Gemara answers, "The raisa k'di Shmuel." You're right. Mid a raisa halachas like Shmuel that chi ta'achs b'teres ha-sakri. The Rabbanon bid a raisa. Now the Rabbanon said, if we're talking about truma on things that are chayv and truma mid a raisa, which Rashi brings down, that's dog and tears for yitzar, the grain and the wine and the oil. So there the shear. The Rabbanan said in something that's mechuyev truma midaraisa is 1 in 40, but if it is only a chiyuv de Rabbanan, as Rashi brings down, when we're speaking about fruits of a tree or vegetables, there the whole chiyuv is only the Rabbanan. So the Gemara continues: the Rabbanan bid a Rabbanan b'shishim. The Rabbanan enacted that if you're giving truma on something that's only chayv in truma midarabbanan, then you should give 1 in 60. Continues the Gemara. Peya b'shishim. Peya is also b'shishim v'atanan. We learned in the first Mishnah Masechta Peya, Peirik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and we say this in davening every day. Elu dvorim she'en lan shir. These are the things that there is no specific shir. You can give the least that you want. You can give the most that you want. Then the first one is ha-peya. The second is ha-bikurim. The first fruits, you can give a small amount. You can give one fruit, or you can give your entire field of fruits, Vaharayan, coming to the base of Migdash, being oil regal during the Shalish Regalim, and being seen each regal in the base of Migdash to be seen by Hashem, that mitzvah of Riya, you can do it as often as you want. And also Rashi says, the korban, there are two korbanis, one is the oilas Riya, the oil that you have to bring every time you have to be seen in the base of Migdash during the Shalish Regalim, and the second one is the korban chagiga, the Shalmei Chagiga. There is no shear, how much it's worth. The Rabbanan gave a shear, that it's meya kesef, one meya for the oilus riya, and it's shtei kesef for the chagiga. But the Gemara's question here is, we see that peya is ein lo shear, so how can you tell me that peya is bishishim? The Gemara answers, the raisa ein lo shear, but the raisa, there's no shear, but the Rabbanan bishishim. The Rabbanan, there's a shear of shishim. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmon, what is Ravu Shmuel telling me? That peya is bishishim. It's enough in the Mishnah, the very next Mishnah there, Masech the peya. After it said the peya ein lo shear, it said Tanina, we learned in that Mishnah, ein Perik Alf Mishnah Bezim Masech the peya, ein Poichsin le peya mi shishim. Afal pisha amru, ha peya ein lo shear. Even though mid a raisa there is no shear on peya, but the Rabbanan said 1 in 60. So what's Ravu Shmuel teaching us? It's already a Beferisha Mishnah Masech the peya. The Gemara answers, Hasam Baretz. There it's speaking about in Eretz Yisrael. Hacha b'chutz l'aretz, here we're speaking about in chutz l'aretz, that Ravi Shmuel said, the same halacha that you find in Eretz Yisrael, 1 in 60, the same halacha applies in chutz l'aretz. So from here we would see clearly that the halacha of peya applies even in chutz l'aretz. The Shachan Yoredeya Simon Shin Lamed Beis, Sifkat and Beis, has a question whether all lands in chutz l'aretz have a halacha of peya, or it's only the lands that are smuchas l'Eretz Yisrael that are right next to Eretz Yisrael, Ayin Shum. Continues the Gemara, Kisolik Issi Barhini. When Issi Barhini went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei, and the Bach takes out the Lamed from the next word, Ashkechei Rabbi Yoichanan, and Rabbi Yoichanan found Issi Barhini, the Kamasni Lalabrei Recholim. He was learning our Mishnah, and he was teaching his son, instead of the word Recholois, Recholois that we have in our Mishnah, in the feminine, he was saying in the male, Recholim. Amarlei, so Rabbi Yoichanan said to Issi, Asnei, teach your son Recholois, like we have it in our Mishnah, in the feminine. Amar Leisa, Issi said back, I'm doing what it says in the Pasuk. And this is a Pasuk in Bereishis Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tezvav, when Yaakov sent the sheep as a present to his brother Esav, it says he sent with his messengers Rechelim Masayim. It says it in the masculine. And based on the Pasuk in Chumash, therefore we should change the Girsa, Issi was telling Rabbi Yoichanan in our Mishnah, not from the feminine, it should be the masculine Rechelim. Amar Leis, so Rabbi Yoichanan responded, don't bring me a pasuk in Chumash concerning our Mishnah. Lashon Torah la'atzma, Lashon Chacham la'atzman. That the Torah speaks in its way, and there the Torah Taki uses the masculine Rechelim. However, in the Lashon Chachamim, the way the Lashon Kodesh of the Lashon Chachamim of our Mishnah, there, that's different. Each one is different. There in the Raisa, it's the masculine. However, here the correct text should be in the feminine. And then Rabbi Yochanan asked Issi, Amar Lei, Man Reish Sidra B'Bavel. Rash says Reish Sidra means the Rosh Hashiva. Who's now the Rosh Hashiva in Bavel? Amar Lei. So Issi answered, Abba Richa, the tall Abba. And Rashi says this goes on Rav, as the Gemara in Nida Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis tells us that Rav was the tallest person living in his generation. The Rashbam and Tosfos Shita is that his name was Abba, but they gave him a name of Rav, just like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was affectionately called B'derech Kavod. He was called Rebbe. He was the Rebbe of all of Klal Yisrael. So too, Abba was given the name of Rav, that he's the Rav of Klal Yisrael. So holds the Rashbam and Taisar. However, Rashi Shita is that is really his name was Rav, and other Rabbi he was given the name of father affectionately. He's like the father, and he was called Abba. So either way, Isi is speaking to Rabbi Yochanan about Rav, and he's calling him Abba Aricha, the tall Abba. On my way, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Isi, Abba Aricha Karaslei, you're calling him Abba Aricha. Rashi says you're not speaking to, about him belush and covet in a respectful manner by calling him Rabbeinu. The Chirna said, Rabbi Yochanan, I remember Karav Yesivna, when I was sitting Acher Yudzayin Shurin Achurei, 17 rows behind Achurei de Rav, behind Rav. And where was Rav sitting? Kamei de Rebbe. He was sitting right in front of Rebbe. I was sitting 17 rows back. This was before, Rashi explains, before Rav went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He was a Talmud of Rebbe, and he was right next to the Rebbe, right in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And I was sitting 17 rows back. And as we find in the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Tes, that in those days, you sat in front of a Rebbe according to your stature in learning. The greatest Talmud sat in the front, and the lowest Talmud sat in the back. The Gemara relates there that Rav Kahana was punished, and he was not allowed to ask any questions from Rabbi Yochanan, and they thought, Ari Olam Mibavel. Rish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan about Rav Kahana, a lion has come up, they put him in the front row. When he didn't ask a question, he was put back a row. And for 7 days, he was put back until he was in the back row. And then he began asking questions. Every day he was put up in another row. So as the Meforshim explained, in those days they worked with total truth. And you were situated in the shir room in front of the Rebbe exactly according to your level in learning. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying here to Isi that I remember where he was such a great Talmud, he was sitting right in front of Rebbe, and I was not as great as him. I was sitting 17 rows back. And I remember that when they were having a Masu Matan and Halacha, when they were discussing Torah, V'nafke Zikukin Denur, there were sparks of fire that were coming out, Mepumi de Rav, Lepumi de Rebbe, from Rav's mouth to Rebbe's mouth, Mepumi de Rebbe, Lepumi de Rav, and back from Rebbe's mouth to Rav's mouth. That's how much Kedusha there was in their learning, that there were sparks of fire between them. V'lesano Yodamayin Amrin, and I did not understand what they were discussing. It was on such a deep level. At Abba Richa Karislei, and you don't give him the proper respect. You don't call him Rabbeinu, you call him the tall Abba. So after the reprimand of Isi, Isi asked Rabbi Yochanan a question, Nagei Arsugi of Reish Zagez, Amarlei, Iyu. So Isi said to Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Zagez Bekama, what is the total amount that has to be taken off the sheep to be mechuyev in rachis, I guess. Amar Lei, and as the Bach says, we take out the word Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lei. So Rabbi Yochanan responded to Isi's question, and he said, Bishishim, that it has to be 60, and from the 60, you take one. Vo'anan b'chol shein tenan. So he asked him back, Isi, but we learned that the shear is koshein, that's what the Rabbanan said, which seems to be a very small amount, not 60. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Im kein ma bein li v'loch. If I'm going to learn superficially the Mishnah as you did, then, as Rashi explains, what would make me a greater gadol than you? In other words, I understand, as Rashi explains, that when the Rabbanan said kol shehein, they didn't mean literally it's a small amount, but they were going back on the shita of Rav Dosa ben Hyrcanus. Rav Dosa ben Hyrcanus said that you need a total of a mana of pras from each one of the five sheep. And they were responding a much smaller amount, which compared to the total of five times a mana of pras was a kol shein. But how much is it? It has to at least be 60, because from 60, we take a 60th, which is one sella. And Rashi says less than one sella would not be considered a nesina whatsoever. It's so small that it's not considered that you're giving anything to the kayin. So therefore, I understand that kol shein doesn't mean literally even a sella, as others interpret the word kol shein, but rather it means a small amount compared to the large amount of Rabbi Dois ben Horkanis, but it has to wind up with 1/60th of 60, which equals 1, which at least has a cheshivas less than that, Rashi says, is not considered something considered worthy of being called a nesina.